Going to have a hard time holding my hanky tonight. Got a fight on our hands. I never wore a pair of these in my life. And you'll be able to tell real quickly. But tonight I want to get the point across. I'm not a fighting man. I ain't got a fighting bone in my body. In fact, when I was young, I tried to run away from fights. Got picked on, but I tried to run away. I'd let them pick on me and bully me. But I'd run away from because I didn't want to fight. But the fact is, over these last few months, I've learned a couple things. I've learned my worship don't depend on who's in the house of God. Sometimes it's very easy when you grow up in church to just get blessed by other people's blessings. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. When you hear certain people shouting, you all know who I'm talking about, right? It just cranks your tractor. But when everybody leaves and it's only you and him, you learn worship isn't about the people in the pews. It's about the one that gives you the power to do it. Couldn't wait to get here tonight because I've learned to know something else. I've got to become a fighter. I mean, I'm not mean. I don't have a mean bone in my body. You know that. But I've laced my gloves up tonight because we have an enemy. And the enemy isn't in the pews. The enemy isn't in the community. He's the enemy of our soul. And we've got to fight on our hands. Amen. And we got to make up our mind when that bell sounds. Are you going to lace them up? Are you going to fight? Are you going to get in the ring? Are you going to cower down and let the enemy take from us what don't belong to him? It belongs to us, and it's time. Hallelujah. The bell sounds. It's time for us to fight and get in the ring and say, devil, you can't have it. Devil, you tried to take it away, but thank God you've got a fight on your hands. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll let her shout. Amen. Glory. Now this Christian life's always been compared to a battle. Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of freedom going on before. We know that. This Christian life's always been referred to as a fight. And I've learned, especially these last few months, you cannot be effective if you're going to wear your emotions on your shoulders. You can't do it. And listen, many of you have had to contend, and you're in the fight of your lives right now. You've had to contend with tough times, and you've had a will that's been determined. And you knew going into it, you wasn't going to get around it. You wasn't going to go above it. You wasn't going to go underneath of it. You had to go through it. And you knew going into it, you had to lace them up because there was a fight about ready to happen. But I'm so thankful tonight that the battle cry of every child of God needs to be this. No retreat, no recall. And hallelujah, we need a resolute spirit in our worship that says, thank God, devil, you've been fighting too long. It's time for me to throw some punches back and say, hey, you can't fight me anymore. I'm not going to cower down. I'm going to stand up. Why? Because I've got one with me that says it's okay to fight. Glory to God. The question is, are you ready to fight? Are you ready to fight? And we warn you all the time. Getting in this battle, getting in this Christian life isn't a bed of roses. You're going to have fighting. And we know, we identify where the attack comes from, right? It's the enemy of our soul. That's the one we really need to fight. But what surprises us is when the attack comes from people. And we're being attacked. You know why? Because we're attaching ourselves to Jesus Christ. And when we attach ourselves to Jesus and to God and to the house of God, we're going to be attacked. So listen, we got a fight on our hands. So what are you going to do? Are you ready to fight? Now, I didn't even give you the scripture, did I? Don't even turn there. It's only one verse. Judges chapter 3, the book of Judges, it was an era of time in the children of Israel's life where after Joshua died, God raised up some leaders called judges. Now, what I've found out to be really impressive is these were some real leaders. Real leaders. You didn't have to second guess what they were saying. They were very clear. They were bold. They were fighters. God raised up warriors in amongst the children of Israel to lead them through this time of judges. And one of those, actually the third judge, I'm using the number three. I know you can't see that, but I put up three fingers right there. The third judge, his name was Shamgar. And in Judges chapter 3, verse 31, he only gets one verse in the Bible. And it says this, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew the Philistines, 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. God raised up this leader called Shamgar, and God used him to win a battle for the people of God. But I want you to notice something about this. We don't have a lot in here, but what we do have is rich. And I want you to notice this. First of all, when it comes to this fight, when it comes to getting our boxing gloves on and realizing we have a fight on our hands, number one, I want you to notice this with Shamgar's life. He stepped up when it was his turn to fight. He stepped up when it was his turn to fight. Now be careful when you question people when they worship, or be careful when you question certain decisions in leadership. You don't understand the fight that people have had to go through. And don't question, don't talk down when people are going through situations and they make certain decisions because your turn's coming. We counsel young preachers all the time. And I fought it myself as a young preacher, my 26th year now, starting here in September, my 26th year preaching. And I fought it when I was young, and no doubt many of you did the same as well. Sometimes we want to get ahead of God and we want to step up into positions that we have no business being in. Because we feel so free, and then the calling of God is on our lives, and we feel we can take on hell and hang, with a water gun. And sometimes we want to get into those positions like being a pastor or being a leader or something like that, when we're not ready for that fight. And so we can't question, young preachers, never question what older preachers do. Never question why, because your turn's coming. Your church is coming. Your congregation is coming, and it'll be your turn to fight. But when that time comes, just like Shamgar, you better step up and be ready to fight. Amen? Amen. Now notice this. You say, why did you say he stepped up when it was his turn? Here's the reason. He followed two other people. He followed Ehud, and then Ehud followed Othniel, which was the nephew of Caleb. Now think about this. Ehud and Othniel served their time. They fought their own battles. They used their own strategies to fight their battles. And when it was Shamgar's turn, notice, he couldn't fight the battles that came before him. And he couldn't use the strategies that Ehud and Othniel used. He had to use his own strategy, and he had to fight his own fight. Now listen, there's going to be a time come when it's your turn to fight. And you can't rely sometimes on what past predecessors have done, because they've already fought their fight. They've already used certain strategies. And when it comes to your fight, listen, you're not fighting their fight and they're not fighting your fight. But when it comes your time, you better step up and say, God, how do I fight this fight? How do I go about doing this? And listen, I have stood by this man over here for over 20 years now. Every day of my life, I've stood beside him and I've tried my best to help him fight his fight. But I can't fight his fight. You know what I do? I'm with him. I'm beside him. I lift him's arms and I do everything I can to relieve the burden off of him so he can fight his fight better. But his fight is not my fight. And my fight is not his fight. But should the Lord tarry his coming, we will switch spots. If he takes him home and I'm left, then I'll have to fight my own fight. And I can't rely on the fight that Calray fought. It's a different generation. It's a different kind of people. And he says to me all the time, God help the generation you're going to have to pastor. You know what he's saying? He said, Brian, there's a fight coming. And I've learned I'm only responsible to lace the gloves up and just step up when it's my time. That's what Shamgar did. He stepped up when it was his time to fight. Not only did he step up, but God supplied what he needed to fight the fight. Yeah, he sure did. Now, man, this is terrible. I gotta wipe my eyes. Worship isn't easy. Worship sometimes is a fight. Yeah. I mean, the very first mention of worship in the Bible, Abraham was going up the mountain to sacrifice Isaac. And you know what he said? Me and the lad are going yonder to worship. He was about ready. He didn't know God was going to intervene and provide a ram. He thought he was going to sacrifice his son. Do you think that was easy? But he called it worship. Sometimes worship is hard. Do you think what we have had to do the last 2 months has been easy? No, it's not been easy. I'm not calling for a pity party or for sympathy. But what I'm telling you is during this time, God has given us, wow, and supplied what we've needed to fight the fight. In case you haven't noticed, the power of God's all over this place. The power of God is all over your preachers. Why? Because you're praying for us every day of our lives. And God has given a special anointing and a special power upon preachers and upon lay people that are willing to stand and fight. Amen. God supplied everything he needed. It may not look like it was enough, but it was enough. Yeah. It was an ox goad. Now, I know there are going to be some wise scholars that know what an ox goad is. But I had no clue. I thought I had an idea, and guess what? I was really wrong. So I did what all good preachers do, go to the internet. And actually, they did give me some good references. An ox goad, let me describe to you what an ox goad is. 6 to 8 foot long. On one end, it's pointed, sharpened. On the other end, sometimes they'll have a hook or a spade. The one end that was sharp was used to drive cattle, to poke them like a cattle prod. The other end was used to clean mud out of the wheels of the cart, to clean mud off the plowshare, to clean mud off the cart, whatever it was, so that way they could keep going. It was also used to dig trenches, that way they can put seed down. How in the world is that? Can you use that to fight 600 people? It didn't seem like it was enough. But don't you know God always supplies what you need to get the job done? It don't look like it's enough. And no doubt whenever all those 600 Philistines came in and surrounded him, I don't know what he did. I don't know how he felt. I don't know if he was scared. And it seemed like the odds were way too much. Too outnumbered, too many people. But don't you know God specializes in the twos of life? I'm not talking about the TWO. I'm talking about TOO. You remember the Red Sea was too wide, but they still walked across on dry ground. Glory to God. Remember Goliath was too big? But he still fell down under the hand of God. Remember the fire where the three Hebrew children was too hot, but they survived because God was in the midst of the fire with them. Remember the lions in the den of lions with Daniel were too fierce, but God brought him through that. Remember the jail was too tight in Philippi, but thank God after a midnight prayer vigil, the jails and the doors were wide open. Why? Because God is too powerful. Remember the cross was too rugged. The grave was too dark, but thank God he still carried the cross and died for our sin. And he died and was buried and rose on the third day. Why? Because we serve a powerful God. And he specializes in the twos in your life. Shamgar noticed that. It was a fight he was willing to take. Why? Because he knew what he had was exactly what he needed. Now, I wondered, how in the world did he do this? I remember, he only got one verse. How was he able to not only fight the Philistines, but it says he slew them. 600. How? 600 against one. That's not good odds. How could he do it? Well, it doesn't tell us how, but we're missing the point. When you look up the name Shamgar, Shamgar's name means sword in the Hebrew. And this is what God showed me. God will never give you what he hasn't already given you the ability to use. God will never put on you something that he has already instilled in you how to use what he's given you. You understand? So he was good with the sword. He was named after a sword. So that means he probably knows how to wield a sword. No doubt they probably caught him off guard. No doubt he was out in the field with the ox and he was prodding them along. And here comes these 600 Philistines ready to kill him and ready to take over the leadership. They were the burr in the saddle of the Israelite. And he said, you know what? I got this. I know how to use a sword. It can't be too much different. So God supplied exactly what he needed. And with the help of God and with the ability that God had already given him, he was ready. And he fought and he won the battle. God has already given you what's on the inside and provided what you need. Hallelujah. If you're ready for a fight, if you're willing to step up, he'll supply what you need to get the job done and to win the victory. Hallelujah. He stepped up when it was his turn. God supplied his need. God supplied him what he needed. And then finally, Shamgar was satisfied with the length of his fight. He only got one verse. One verse. I don't know if Shamgar fought any more fights. We don't know. He didn't get a whole book in the Bible like Joshua. He didn't get all kinds of chapters like Moses. He didn't get a long, beautiful story like David. He got one verse. We can only speculate about his humility, but it teaches us a great lesson. Some battles we fight, there's only one. Sometimes we fight many. But if we trust in God, we have to be satisfied with how long that battle is. Because really, when it comes to life, we all have one major battle to fight. And for many of us, that's the only fight we got left. And that's when we meet death. But can I submit to you? We've got a fight on our hands. And if we know Christ as our personal Savior, he promises us we won't have to cross Jordan alone. He promises us he will be with us and strengthen us to win that battle. How many times have we been beside Christians that have paved the way in front of us, and all the way up until the end, Satan fought them. But when they finally gave it over to God, said, God, take me home, and he took them home. Over and over again, how many of you have seen the peace of God that comes over their face? Why? Because they fought their last fight. They fought their last fight. God said, you can take the gloves off. Your fight is over. We are victors. But the thing is, we have to realize we may only have one verse in our life left. Your life may be ending sooner than you think. Are you satisfied with knowing that Christ could call you anytime to go home? Is your heart right with God tonight? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Time is drawing near. The end of time is coming. And we'll have some battles to fight. As we've said many, many times, It's going to get tougher before we go home. But I'm ready. Are you ready to fight? We have an enemy. He's the one we need to target our warfare against. But you know what? Let me flip here real quick. Oh, yeah. The back of the book says that we've won. That's what the end of the story says. So you know what? It's a lot easier to fight a fight if you know you're going to win. If you haven't joined in this Christian army, come and join us. It's a good fight. I fought a good fight, Paul said. I finished the course. I kept the faith. And I can't wait to hear him say, well done.